Well, we've been talking about prayer and how important it is to open up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, real quick like. And let's go to verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now that's a good statement about prayer, don't you think? Some of us have quit asking and some of us quit seeking. Some of us quit knocking. But prayer involves all three. And have you noticed that when it comes to prayer, that God requires you to ask? That He asks you to knock. Amen. And his guarantee is that when you ask and you seek and you knock, notice his response. It means that he will cover all three for you. All three areas. First of all, if you ask, something will be given to you. Second thing, if you seek, you will find it. And then the third thing is if you knock, it will be open to you. You know what knocking means? It means that you want somebody to open something up for you so you can enter in. And so the direction I want to go off of prayer from this point on is I want to talk about the Holy Ghost. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and how important He is in our life. Before I actually gave my heart back to the Lord, got back into fellowship with Him, my brother Bobby, who lives in Salem, Oregon, loves the Lord. He's on fire for God. He has been for years. Sue's favorite of the brothers, because she says, he makes me laugh. My brother can be pretty funny. And so she always enjoys talking with him when he calls. And Bobby, him and my brother Timmy were preaching to me, and they were preaching to me to give my heart back to the Lord. I did it when I was 12 years old with my grandfather, but I had gotten away from the things of the Lord. And I'll never forget one day that Bobby was sitting down and preaching away. I was getting irritated with him, tired of him preaching to me all the time. You know, when you're a flesh creature, that's the attitude you have, you know. And finally, he said something that caught my attention. He said, at that time, they had what you call a Jesus movement, a Jesus revival. That's what you kind of termed it, to John, is a Jesus revival, which you weren't part of, I guess, evidently, huh? In your own way. But this is where a lot of the hippie people begin to convert over to Christ. And they had one lady in the area, I forgot her name, but she was leading it up, and I went to Wright's Park and heard her preach. And the only reason I was there is my brothers were preaching to me. So I decided to go there. Well, they were speaking in a strange language. They were speaking in tongues. And so when Bobby and all of us were sitting down one day, I said, hey, what is this language that, are these a lot of foreign people that are getting saved? Because that's how I looked at it, as foreign people. And Bobby says, to me, says, no, that's speaking in tongues. And I says, oh, speaking in tongues. Now that's interesting. And Bobby said, did you notice this one guy that was there? And I happened to notice this one guy that was there, and he was real loud and speaking in tongues. And Bobby said, you know, he told me. Now, Bobby didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit at this time. Neither did I, neither did Tim. But Bobby said he confronted the guy and asked him what language he was speaking in, and the guy said, tongues. And so Bobby said, what is that? And he says, it is a direct telephone line to the throne of God. And Bobby, the eyes got all lit up. You mean to tell me you have a direct line to God? Now, you're thinking Bell Telephone Company at that time. Now, you don't think that way anymore. It's Quest or Verizon or whatever. AT&T. But back then, it was simple, Bell. And so Bobby thought Bell Telephone Company. And so Bobby tells me that. He said it's a direct line to God. You can speak directly to God. And you know what I thought? How amazing. You can speak to God, have a direct line to Him, and not have a telephone in your hand. You know, that's carnal thinking. You, what do you mean? You must be born again. Jump back into my mom's womb? I imagine that was the same concept I had, you know. Wow, you could talk to God directly by a language that acts like a telephone. And you don't even need a telephone. So that intrigued me. And so finally, I desired that in my heart, but I hadn't received fellowship of the Lord yet. So I went to a Baptist church and I got saved. But I never forgot that direct line to God. And so I wanted that so bad. And it was weird. Before I even got back into fellowship with God, I wanted that more than anything else. Now, does that make sense? No, it doesn't really. I guess it's like people that have a desire for God and preach to everybody in the bar, but yet they themselves are not in church or not connected to God, you know. But there's something in the spirit of man that desires the fullness of God. And so in this Baptist church, I went down forward and we went into the back there, and I was genuinely saved. And the guy asked me, he says, now fill out these papers here because this is what's going to make you a member of our church. And I said, no, I'm not going to be going to church here. And he looked at me, and, you know, I'm as green can get. You know, I didn't know that there was a difference in the churches. And he says, you should be a member of church. I said, yeah, I'm going to be a member of a church. But I'm going to this church right down the street that believes in speaking in these tongues because I heard it's a direct line to God. Nice knowing you. Boy, they shipped me and my oldest boy right out the door. And I got to thinking, my gosh, he must have thought that was a great thing to want me out of there so fast to go to the church where they speak in tongues. I was looking at it positive. He was very negative about it. And so, actually, I ended up going to the Assemblies of God. And then me and my two brothers and Sue, all of us got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Spirit. And the first thing that began to happen to me is I desired to know everything about the Holy Spirit. I was craving it. And I'll never forget that many, many afternoons I'd be on my knees just crying out to God, teach me more about the Holy Spirit. Teach me more. And I didn't even really realize how important it was to seek the understanding of the Holy Spirit that I do now. And I realized then I was more led of the Spirit of God, and not by knowledge, but by the fellowship that I desired in the understanding of the Holy Spirit. When I was asked to share with the ministers up there, I made a decision to bring the focus back to the pastors that too many of them have to be careful that you're not parroting others. But you have communion or fellowship with the Holy Ghost as well. I love listening to other ministers, and we get things from other ministers. But what I wanted to get across to them is stop parroting other ministers and have a seeking a communion time yourself with the Holy Ghost. And Sue said something to me that caught my attention. Sometimes you'll know things, but other people don't necessarily know them. And I said, Sue, I feel that I need to tell them about the communion of the Holy Ghost. And Sue looked at me and she said, well, you don't believe in praying to the Holy Spirit, do you? And I said, no, that's not where I was coming from. But you know what? I'm so glad she had said that, because Sue got me to thinking from their perspective. You know, sometimes you think from your perspective and you forget about the perspective of where everybody else comes from. And so I started sharing with Sue where I was coming from, and Sue got excited and she said, that's what they need. Preach it. And remember how we said that in the room? And so I got excited about it. But you see, I was taking something for granted that I thought everybody knew. And yet I wasn't going to give an explanation to what I meant by that. And so let's look at that passage real quick, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you will, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In chapter 13, let's go to verse 11. Verse 11. Now that's 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he's closing the letter, and he's making a statement that's very interesting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Become complete. Become mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The word communion here is the Greek word koinonia. Literally means, and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, it was very interesting. In Jesus' day, up to close to the time of his death, what was the one thing he promoted more than anything else? That was the person of the Holy Spirit. He promoted him more than anything else because he knew he was departing from this world and he was ascending into that world. And he said, I cannot go, for if I do not go, he will not come. And what he was referring to is he would not come in the administration that he was assigned to do for our time period, our dispensation, our generation. The Holy Spirit has always been here from the Old Testament right up to the New Testament. But at the time of the New Testament, the consummation of the person of Jesus removing himself as a witness to the Heavenly Father and going back there, Jesus knew that he had a work to accomplish. And he knew that the only way that this work could be accomplished was through the person of the Holy Spirit. Do I hear an amen? Now, when we talk about communion of the Holy Spirit, having koinonia or fellowship, most people are void of what that means. They're void of understanding the meaning of that. Now, if you will, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to keep it very simple for all of us to get this. Hallelujah. It's a baby Christian. Little baby Christian. In Revelations, this is where John the Apostle John, was going to receive from the Lord Jesus a message that was to be given to the seven churches in Asia Minor. He was going to give each one of them pastors a specific message. Now, in March of this year, I get to go to those seven places with Tony Cook and Rick Renner and my son Tim. We're all going to go to these seven places where seven churches are. I remember when I went to Jerusalem and they had been unearthing the city that Abraham had visited many times, and they unearthed the entrance to the city, and you could walk through the same entrance that Abraham walked through. How exciting, you know, just to, and when I walked through that entrance, I said, and it's the original entrance that he walked through, because they were just unearthing it. And I said, wow, to think Abraham walked through this entrance. Powerful. It's just full of, whoo, good thoughts. Hallelujah. And so we get the opportunity to go to these seven churches where Jesus himself had commissioned, praise God, a message to each one. And so I'm going to be excited about going there and finding out about all this stuff, you know. But I want you to notice verse 4 here, how this thing starts out. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, did you notice that Jesus is going to literally give a message to John that belongs to seven churches, and Jesus himself bore witness by Scripture that not only would he be the one to give these seven churches a message, but he also bore witness to the Holy Ghost and his vocation in witness to Christ himself, a message that the Holy Spirit would also confirm to the seven churches that Jesus himself, before he departed, said, you must receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And so when you read that, he says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So with that thought in mind, one person asked me one time, what are those seven spirits? Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 through 11 through 14 that he talked about we are to have communion of the Holy Spirit. Sue had made a statement about are we to pray for to the Holy Spirit? No. But there is a fellowship of the Spirit that we need to be aware of when it says communion of the Holy Ghost. So if you will, turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Is everything pretty simple so far? Because I want to be able to communicate so that everyone understands. In Isaiah chapter 11, we find what these seven spirits are. And so let's go to verse 1. Then there shall come forth a rod, and from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And what he's referring to there is how Jesus will come forth. How Jesus will come forth. This is a prophetic thing here. And he was talking about Jesse's offspring, which that was the line which Jesus came from. And notice what he says in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And of the fear of the Lord. Now notice what he said. Seven spirits. Well, each word to identify spirit, the first one is, when he says the spirit of the Lord, he is talking about the new birth that is to come? No. He's talking about a different administration of the Holy Spirit that was to come. Because when he said the Spirit of the Lord, you'll find that mentioned a lot of times in the Synoptic Gospels about the Spirit of the Lord. And it's a direct reference to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you get more into the epistles, you'll find there it's not talking about as much about a specific baptism of the Spirit, but the Spirit of the new birth. The Spirit of the Lord being our inheritance through the new birth. How many understand what I'm talking about? But here, the Spirit of the Lord, he's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he says that it shall rest upon him the Spirit, notice, of wisdom and understanding. There's those two power twins going to work together again. And we brought out about the different meanings of wisdom and understanding. We brought out that wisdom is a principal thing. It lets us in on what the kingdom of God is really all about, or the kingdom of heaven. And that's what cries without in the streets. That is what God has provided for us, is the understanding of the principles of the kingdom of God. And then you find that along with the wisdom that has been displayed from God, it is up to us, not God, it's up to us to get us understanding. Understanding of the wisdom that is to come. And what understanding does, it's prudence. It gives you the ability to stabilize yourself in the wisdom or the principles of God. It causes you not to be moved from the wisdom of God. Amen? And so, understanding is what we call the vitalness to the kingdom of God. The wisdom says Jesus is the only way. But the understanding that comes to us, the vitalness of wisdom, is that He is the only way. There is no other way into the kingdom of heaven. Not through Muhammad, not through Buddha, not through any other forms of religion. Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. And if anyone else tries to enter in any other way, he's a thief and a robber, and he's not going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven if his faith is based upon another faith. Amen? And so with wisdom and understanding, that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do, is He will give you an understanding with wisdom. And you need both to work together so that you're not moved off the principles of the wisdom of God. Then He says might. That is in Matthew 16:19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever has happened there will also happen here, binding and loosening. Matter of fact, the Greek says, has already been bound and has already been loosed. So when you bind and loose here, it's because it's already orchestrated there. It is the kingdom of heaven that is at work from the seating of the right hand of the Father in Jesus, given to the church and its authority. Amen? And so, this word might is a very interesting word. Are you ready? This word might literally means valor, victory, force, power, strength, warrior, champion, strong man. And that's what the Holy Spirit will put into you, understanding that when He has joined Himself to you, He is your champion. He is your victor. He is the one that causes you to succeed. He's dunamis, achieving ability. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's always connected to the Holy Spirit, that word dunamis. It is the ability to do things beyond your natural ability. He is your helpmate. One called alongside you to help you carry your load. Now I'm going to, this is going to blow a lot of people's theology. The Holy Spirit did not come to tell you what to do. Did you guys know that? He came to instruct you from what He knows. The word exousia in the Greek is very interesting. It's never attached to the Holy Spirit. Well, when I saw that, what's that all about? Finally, the Lord said, have you ever heard a Christian say, the Holy Spirit made me do this? Or the Holy Spirit made me do that? You know what? If the Holy Spirit wants you to do something different, He won't come and exercise His authority over you. If He did, many of us wouldn't be where we're at right now. Well, if the Holy Spirit isn't set in charge of your life, why aren't you bearing better fruit? What, are you in a rebellion or something? Because you'll always bear good fruit if you follow the leading of the Spirit. Not exousia. It is called the leader. He leads. He does not drive you. He leads you. Glory to God. And so, the next word that you find is a very interesting word. This word is knowledge. Knowledge. This word means to discern, to discover something, to instruct, to have, are you ready? Understanding. To instruct, to have understanding. Now, I thought it was very interesting that in Isaiah you find something mentioned about how knowledge comes forth from the Holy Spirit. This is going to bring up another question, which I am so delighted to share with you. And this is it. You ready? There is a teaching going on that you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And that there is no other baptism. How many of you ever heard that? How many of you heard a Christian say, I don't believe in speaking in them tongues. I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved, but I don't speak in them tongues. Do you know that that is a lie? And did you know the Bible doesn't back that theology? You know where that theology came from? Maybe 60, 70 years ago, not even 100 years ago. It came through doctrinal church beliefs. That the early church didn't even know anything about doctrinal beliefs such as not everyone is going to receive tongues. If the Lord wants you to speak in Him, He will give it to you. He gave it to you on the day of Pentecost. To everyone. Yes, He wants everyone to have the baptism. He does. And He tells us in Isaiah 28 verse 9, go over there. Go over to Isaiah 28. In Isaiah 28, let's go to verse 9. Whom will He teach knowledge? Here we go. And whom will He make to understand the message? Those who have weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. They would not hear who will teach knowledge and give the message of understanding. So He goes on to say, but the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Well, He is prophetically speaking of something such as there is going to be the tongue of the learned given in future. And He said the tongue of the learned is what we will inherit. And He says this tongue has the ability to impart knowledge. And the word here, stammering lips, comes from the Hebrew meaning to speak unintelligibly. To speak as a foreigner. But it's very interesting. Then you read on here, and he goes and says, and another tongue, with stammering lips, and another tongue. And that's the part they seem to forget. They focus in on stammering lips. But really, and another tongue is very important, because the word another tongue means to speak in a foreign tongue, a strange language that is not known to the speaker. Now, he equates this stammering lips and another tongue with the correct interpretation of knowledge. And notice what he said, for precept has to be on precept. And line upon line, you know what he's talking about? Contextual knowledge, contextual insight. The Holy Spirit begins and finishes the dialogue to knowledge. There's a beginning and there's an end. And you got to understand it from beginning to end, the in-between. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit will teach you precept upon precept, divine order, what has to come first and what follows, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, meaning contextually. And it comes here a little and there a little, but eventually it starts lining up. And then you go, wow, I see it. I'm not over anyone's head right now, am I? But then all of a sudden, we get this. Well, I ain't got the Holy Spirit when I got born again. I don't speak in tongues. Well, you got the new birth. But you didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a separate and distinct act. I thought it was very interesting. You know, it's good to talk to people who have been taught differently than you, especially if you know Scripture. And if they will give you their ear, you can take them to Scripture and show them what Scripture actually... And I had this happen to me with a young Baptist man. And so he kept cutting in and he kept making statements that I kept telling him that that's not in Scripture. And I begin to realize he's parroting somebody else. He's not giving information that has been revealed through the Spirit. And so when I took him to Scripture and started showing him out of the book of Acts, and by the way, the book of Acts is not the Acts of the New Birth. It's not even mentioned there. The New Birth is mentioned when the epistles are penned. But it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit within the book of Acts. And so you understand through the book of Acts how the Spirit was given. And when I started showing him Scripture, he said, wait a minute, now they didn't, they told me this about that Scripture. I said, that's not what it's saying. And he goes, well, why? And you know what? I led this young man to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He started speaking out in tongues because I told him how to do it. Do you know what most believers that don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they either believe that it has been done away with because they were taught it was, or number two, they believe that that language is no longer useful, needful today because they were given to foreign countries and they had to speak out of their spirit. You don't find that nowhere in the book of Acts. Or there are a lot of Christians that are afraid of it. They are simply afraid of it. Well, the case with this young man was that he wasn't afraid of it. He was just taught against it. But I showed him through Scripture and he goes, oh my gosh, I see it. I see it. But you know, getting people calmed down because they defend a parrot. They become like a parrot. They're defending what they were fed into them rather than what the Bible is explaining to them. And so he caught it. And by gosh, he got excited about it. He wasn't afraid. But I've witnessed to people that I knew were deathly afraid of the supernatural. Have you ever run across somebody like that? Matter of fact, earlier in our ministry when we were evangelizing, we had miracles that actually got people to run from us. It scared them. Because they didn't understand it. Especially when I was in this convention in Eugene, and this young couple came up to me, young kids, they were kids. And he said, I need prayer. I said, what you need prayer for? He says, well, my knees, my joints are starting to ache. And it looks like I'm going to have to go in and have the BBs removed from my knees. And I said, BBs? What do you mean BBs? And he says, well, my sister, who's there, she's looking real bad. She said, well, when we were younger, I put a BB gun up next to his kneecaps and pulled the trigger. I said, you shot BBs into his kneecap? Yeah. And we'd already drawn a crowd from the media because of the miracles. I was with Dave Roberson. We were holding these. We were having miracles. And I says, so what do you want me to do? He said, well, would you pray for me that when I go there, they'll take him out and I'll be healed? And I says, why don't you let God get rid of him? He says, oh, well, that's okay too. So I knelt down and I started praying for him. And all of a sudden, these little BBs are rolling out on the floor. And this one guy who was there from the media started taking pictures of these BBs floating around. They hit the newspaper. These BBs were coming out. And as I'm praying for him, I said, what in the world is everybody saying? They're very rude. Everybody's moving around. And I looked up, and the daughter goes, hey, the BBs, the BBs. And I looked down and saw the BBs rolling around on the floor. And I went, oh, my gosh. Even in the man of power and prayer, oh, my gosh. The babies are coming out. Got delivered of all the babies. There must have been eight of them that came out. That is, to be that stupid to let somebody shoot eight BBs into both knees. Ping, ping. Have you ever been shot with a BB gun? It hurt. It hurt. So it was a miracle. And I got figuring out real quick, like, this is not natural. This is supernatural. This is dunamis, the ability. But he goes on to say about the rest of the spirits here. Those are seven spirits. He said, also, the spirit of what? The one that none of us really ever focus in on, but it's there. And finally, one day we catch it, and it's there. And that is, let me get back to Isaiah there. Over in Song of Solomon. He says, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel. And this is where he literally gives you counsel. He's your advocate. It's a legal term for giving you direction, giving you insight. How many of you know all of us need counsel? Advice, purpose, plan. To deliberately resolve a determined position with God in you, to give you guidance. That's what that word counselor means in the Greek. Actually, when you see it all on over into the New Testament, it says Paracletus, to call beside you, to be an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, a counselor. Are you ready? A disciplining. To discipline you. And that, how many times you find Christians always say, I am so lost. I don't know where God wants me. I don't know. And right away you can tell there's no communion. There's no fellowship with the Holy Spirit that they would have that direction. We're waiting too much for men to give us a direction rather than God giving us direction. You got to be careful. You can have a zeal, a knowledge for God, but yet not according to knowledge. And so, he says here, the Holy Spirit will be your counselor. Not only knowledge and might, counselor. And then the last one he mentions is the spirit of fear. Well, you know, fear, this is an interesting, I looked up the meaning of the word fear. And did you know that the same interpretation for fear kept coming up, good or bad? I heard a young minister, he was young then, I still listen to him today because he's a mighty man of God. But when he was younger, I could tell he wasn't mature yet. And he was teaching, and he wrote a book called Reject the Spirit of Fear. And in the book, he has a whole chapter dedicated, there's no such thing as a godly fear. And I got to thinking, whoops! Well, he'll grow out of that one. Because the Bible speaks of a godly fear. Very plainly. And sure enough, he has grown out of that. Praise God. But the Holy Spirit has what we call a fear that is mentioned that it's the beginning of knowledge. Well, the word fear here comes from the word to reverence. How many of you know what it means to reverence something? It means to have respect for. And are you ready? It means to fear. It means to fear, have fear. Not only reverence, but fear. And so one of the meanings of the word fear means to fear an impending danger. But another form of the word fear means to fear as a result of the truth of God's revealed will. They're different. They're used differently. One is according to a fear outside of God, and the other one's a fear of God inside the will of God. How many got that? Now, we'll go into more details of these seven spirits. But really, with what time I have left, I want to settle the issue. Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit separate and distinct from being born again? I'm going to boldly tell you that the Scriptures plainly tell us they are two separate, distinct acts. They are not one and the same with a new birth. There's no teaching in your Bible that they're one and the same in a new birth. Now, I have listened to ministers talk about it to disprove it, and I ain't going to tell you who they are, but when they took Scripture out of the book of Acts to prove that it had been done away with, they took every place of the text that they were referring to and pulled it out of its setting. And destroyed what the Bible is trying to get across to us. Now, first of all, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high, that you will be my witnesses." And the word for witnesses there is a Greek word, martus. It comes from martyr. He didn't say, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem till you receive the Holy Spirit from on high so you can get killed." That was not the coming of the Holy Spirit's purpose, to make you a martyr. It literally meant to put to death in you, in your natural being, to mortify the deeds of the body, that you will do the will of God through the Spirit. That is the purpose of Acts 1:8. And of course, you know the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in the upper room and they all began to speak in tongues, including Mary. She was there. And so there was about 120 of them. And all the apostles were there. And, you know, our Bible gives us witness to that. They were all there. And they all began to speak in tongues. And so it was called the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came that Jesus talked about. And then if you go over to Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17, this is where Peter and John was sent to believers to receive the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Paul himself was filled with the Holy Spirit. And also in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 47, Cornelius' household received the Holy Spirit. Also in Acts chapter 11, verse 12 through 17, Peter tells the other apostles about his his reason for going to Cornelius' household to receive the Holy Spirit as they had. He says, as they had from the beginning. And it was to the other elders who had no concept yet of the Gentiles also being part of the body of Christ. At that time, they only saw the Jews converted. And so Peter says, well, whatever it was, God told me to do it. He showed me a vision and all that, and I went over there. And of course, when you read the passage, it says, for they began to speak in other tongues. They heard them speak with other tongues. And then and in Acts chapter 15, verse 8, this is where Peter went to the Jerusalem council and tells them the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit as they did, as we did from the beginning. Well, what does that mean? They spoke in tongues. Doesn't actually say there that they spoke in, but he says, as we did, meaning we spoke in tongues. Cloven tongues as of by fire. And then, of course, in Acts 19, verses 1 through 6, Paul at Ephesus, where Apollos received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that there? Matter of fact, go to Acts chapter 19. This is the one that confirmed it for this young man that was taught differently when I showed him this. And he went, oh, my gosh, why don't we hear this stuff? Well, I said, well, you're hearing it from a master who has a ceiling on him, and the ceiling got on you. You know, it says, Jesus said, be careful whose master you choose. Because the very master that you pick, if there's a ceiling on him, it'll be on you. If he doesn't believe in it, he'll convince you not to. And so here we find in Acts chapter 19, where Paul himself, as it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, said unto them, what then were ye baptized? So they said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Then they heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. For they heard them speak in tongues with prophecy. Now, how did Paulus get in it? Well, let's back up to chapter 18 here and go to verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now watch this. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. How many of you believe he was born again? But right at verse 19, verse 1 on, he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, you can be born again and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I hope this is helping you a little bit. But how many of you heard the word be filled? Be ye filled with the Spirit. What I thought was very interesting, this word used to confuse me. Because when I looked up the meaning, the two different meanings for the word filled, it had two different meanings. But yet, they interpreted the same. When I go, well, why give one meaning that's the same as the other meaning? And so I kept reading it over and over. And I went to one of the guys that were a Greek scholar, and I shared this with him, and he looked at me and he goes, "You better go back and read your reference material again. It's there. It's pretty simple." So I went back to my reference material, and I looked at it, and I was reading away, and I came back to him, "I don't get it." The word filled is a very interesting word. One means to pour something into something till it's full. How many of you ever went to get a glass of water? And you turn the faucet on, you stick the glass under the faucet, it fills the glass up. How many can say it's filled? If you can't get that revelation, you need to learn how to drink. Well, some of us find that out on our own. But anyway, that's what one meaning is. It means to pour something into something until it's full. But the other meaning means to receive the fullness of something that's already there. To receive the fullness of something that's already there. So if somebody had poured the glass of water for me and put it on the table and says, "You want to drink the fullness of that?" I look at it and say, "Yes." And so I will drink the fullness of it. Why? Because it's already there. I'm using this as a teaching guide here. And so one means you pour something into it until it's full. And the other meaning is receive what's already there in its fullness. This is a word you find in the epistles when it says, "Be ye filled daily with the Holy Ghost." Literally means you already got Him there, but receive the fullness of what's already in you. See? Where the other literally means something is going to be poured into you. And that's where sometimes it's a negative term. But when it's talking about be ye filled daily with the Holy Spirit, He's talking about the Holy Spirit in you in its fullness. Receive the fullness. That's why He said daily receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost that's in you. Glory to God. I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm Spirit filled. I got saved and didn't speak in tongues. And one day we had Pentecost in my living room, and little Emma Pendergast came there and gave her testimony of the Holy Ghost. I said, "I'm going to have it," and we got baptized in it. And ever since then, it has been wonderful journey with stammering lips and another tongue to draw out the mysteries of the fullness of Christ that is in me and His fullness. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. Somebody told me, "How do you speak in them languages?" And I said, "You shut your brain down and just talk." I said, "That's how a baby talks." Do you know a baby? Because his brain's not engaged. Did you guys know that? Well, that's like it is when you first get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, "Why would I want to speak in something that I'll never get to know?" Precisely. Well, what do you mean? Why would I use a language that I don't understand? And when I said, it's because the beautifulness of the fact that your intellect is left out of the picture. God's the one that brings you the answer, but He's the one that gave you the tongue so you could ask Him for what is needful for you apart from your intellect. That's the trouble with the church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Their intellect got in there and began interpreting Scripture that God needs to interpret you. We have lost the respect of the seven spirits of the Holy Ghost. People, I'm telling you, when you pray in tongues, when I first started getting ready, and it's happening today, I'm getting revelation that you can't get from natural. That's why Paul was caught up to the third heaven. God graced Paul, saying, they're way off base down there. This is what it means. Go back down there and tell them. And that's why he said, I heard words that were not lawful to utter. Literally means no man could give that revelation except the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is here. And He's in those seven spirits. And we need to do honor to Him. And we need to respect the communion of the Holy Ghost. And let Him be our ultimate teacher and not parrot just anything. We're going to stop. Yes, there's two separate distinct acts. Why would He go to a bunch of people and make the statement as He fell on us? You don't get baptized in the Holy Ghost and stay mute. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you begin to speak out in another language. Why? Because it's an indictment against your intellect. And it is a language of your born again spirit. Let Him out. How do you expect the Holy Spirit to intercede for you when you don't speak in tongues? How does the Holy Spirit intercede for you? I'm going to have the Holy Spirit intercede for me. You know how He intercedes for you? He uses your tongue. He knows what your spirit has and hasn't. And so He has intercession for you. Intercession of getting a standing in where the will of God is not made known. Where supplication is, where the will of God is made known, but God's people have been neutralized. You can still stand in the gap for them. I hope you got something here today. I'm tired. I can feel my youth. Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we love the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I love everything about Him. Because You said that is the only way we'll see Jesus. Because He bears witness of my risen Lord. And Father, how could anybody stop that divine, wonderful miracle of speaking in another tongue and not want to speak in that language that He's designed for us? Oh, Father, release everybody that has that kind of stronghold in their thinking to where they will not allow themselves to be foolish for God. For what man calls foolish, God calls great. So, Father, as we close this service, first of all, if there's somebody here that has never been born again, we want to lead you into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, if you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for those of you that have been born again, we want to lay hands on you and pray for you that you also will be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And also, if you're here and you want to restore your walk with God, we want to pray for you to be back in that perfect place of fellowship you need to be. Hallelujah. And if you need healing, we want to lay hands on you for you to receive what salvation is about. Deliverance, healing, whatever it is that you need. So with that in mind, if you're there in the audience and the Spirit was speaking to you, please come forward right now, anybody. Just feel free to come forward. Hallelujah. I also want to pray for those of you that have been not using your heavenly language. You felt a restraint on you. You haven't really spoken other tongues like you should. You've received it when you got filled, but you haven't been exercising the will of that. I want you to come forward here too and let us pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes our carnal mind takes over the very blessedness of what God does in us. And that's got to stop. Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. Boy, I'm doing a good job in this church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're all doing it. I said that sarcastically. We have a fellowship room in the back. If you'd like to meet with me because you have some questions, even on what was preached. If you're ready to argue, I'm ready. If you just want to ask a question because you want some know-how, feel free to go back in that room and I'll meet you there in just a minute. Did you guys get something here today? Well, I'm not much of an altar with all the sweat that I poured out for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful people. And I thank you that they're going to have a safe trip home. And they're going to be excited because the joy of the Lord is going to be in their heart in life this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray in tongues.